We're going to be looking at Nicodemus, the story of Nicodemus from John 3. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi or teacher, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely, they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows over where it pleases. You don't hear it, you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is that everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Blessing, Steve, as you teach us.
Thanks, Chris. I wish Chris would have shared that idea about someone else preaching earlier. Now, actually, this is a great scripture to preach on, so I'm looking forward to it this morning. We've been on vacation this past week, and it's a time to pause from the typical rhythms of and patterns of life that you fall into. And for me, at least, I don't know if you're like this, but when I go on vacation, I make a lot of resolutions of how my life's going to look different when I get back from vacation. Not that I'm overwhelmed by that, but, how my schedule can look different, how I relate to people better or relate to God better, things like that. Just how I can be a better person now that I can reflect on it a little bit. And also, right before I left, by the end of February, I had to write up my wellness pledge for my health insurance. You know, ways that I was going to work on my wellness, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, how I'd be, again, how I would shape myself to be a better person, which kind of fits with our theme for Lent, that we're created in the image of God and we're shaped by Jesus. Just with that theme, it reminds us that it's more than just our own effort to reshape our life. You know, there's something going on beyond us to shape us, to recreate us. And we want to look at that, especially through the scripture this morning. In John 3 here, we're introduced to Nicodemus, this Pharisee, and these The Pharisees are this group of leaders who are very diligent to follow God's law. They make a much effort to be righteous. John the Baptist, when the Pharisees came out to see him, they said, "Don't think to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that God can raise up children of Abraham from these stones." All throughout the Jesus story, the Pharisees are reminded that it's more than just their righteous efforts. It's more than just their heritage or their bloodlines that is going to make them righteous before God and give them life with God. So Nicodemus appears to Jesus at night, and it's kind of ambiguous about his motives, but it seems like he wants to hear more. Unlike a lot of the confrontations with the Pharisees that Jesus has, Nicodemus seems genuinely interested, and he sees something in Jesus that is the power of God at work. Rather than coming to test Jesus and to be more confrontational and question Jesus. So before Nicodemus can even really ask anything, all he does is make a comment that it's clear that God's at work. Nobody could do the things you're doing except if they're from God. But right away, Jesus confronts Nicodemus with this powerful truth. Unless a person is born again, or unless a person is born from above, means the same thing, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So John here, as the one who's telling the story or writing the story, portrays Nicodemus as someone who's struggling to understand. You know, it's kind of wrapped up in that statement that he makes once or twice. How can this be? So in a sense, as the reader of John's gospel, Nicodemus is asking these questions for us. You know, how can these things be? Help me to understand what you're trying to say about being born anew, being born from above, to be born again. And so, Jesus answers those questions. But this whole theme of rebirth is found throughout the New Testament. It talks about the gospel of Jesus. Peter writes, "You've been born anew. You haven't been born from perishable seed, but from imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God." Paul says, if you're in Christ, there's new creation. The old's gone, the new has come. Titus says that God saves us, Jesus saves us, not by works of righteousness, but by mercy, through the washing of new birth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. All these metaphors of new birth coming into being. And so I'd especially like to you to picture, as I'm talking this morning, is back in Genesis 2, it says, the Lord God formed the man, formed Adam. And that word formed has the understanding of like an artist at work or a potter that's fashioning something. The Lord formed the man from the soil of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So as I talked this morning about being shaped by new birth, just imagine that there's something at work beyond ourselves to breathe life, new life into us. That's what we find in Christ Jesus. So Jesus further explains what this new birth is all about. "Very truly, I tell you, Nicodemus, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit." And again, this might be hard for us to understand, and it was hard for Nicodemus to understand. But one of the commentators that I read said, had this take on it, that Nicodemus really should have imagined what Jesus was saying when he talked about being born of water and the Spirit. Because in the Hebrew scriptures, especially the words of the prophet, it pointed to this day when God was going to restore Israel. He's going to make things new. He's going to send his Messiah. And there was going to be this work of renewal that was sent by God with the metaphors of water and wind. So water and wind would come in a sense, rushing in to bring renewal of the people as God is restoring all things. So just a couple examples. Isaiah 44, 3-5. God says through Isaiah, I will pour out water on the parched ground, and I will cause streams to flow on the dry land. I will pour my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your children. They will sprout up like a tree in the grass, like poplars beside channels of water. One will say, I belong to the Lord. Another will say, use the name Jacob. One will write on his hand, I am the Lord's. So this image of water bringing rebirth to the people of God. Then Ezekiel 37, 9 and 10, God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath or to the wind. Son of man, prophesy and say to the breath or the wind, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these corpses that they might live. So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an extremely great army. So just this imagery of God bringing this new life, this regeneration to his people when he's coming to restore them. Jesus goes on with this whole theme. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. So I just hear him saying, Nicodemus, this restoring work of God is going to go beyond what you imagine or how you are directing people towards it. It's bigger than what you understand or the present course of things. One of the things I want to do this week, now that we're back, is I've seen these stories of revival breaking out in Asbury. I've seen headlines at Texas A&M, in Portland, and I just want to hear more about this. You know, like, what is God doing in this generation maybe that doesn't feel as connected to the church, but still is able to breathe life and faith into people? So just want to hear more about what that's all about. I feel like I experienced this a little bit this week in my own reflections on vacation. Again, I said, like, vacation's often a time where I'm thinking about how I can reorder my life. And towards the end of the week, I started to think, like, there's got to be more to it than just, God, you want to tell me how to rearrange my schedule or relate to people in a different way. And so as I thought about this, this image came to my mind, and it is an image that's been meaningful to me in the past, to imagine God's love for me as a father who is picturing myself, my dad, holding his son on his shoulders, and just that sense of closeness, of joy, of adventure, like, that's been meaningful to me to imagine God's love for me and to kind of live out of that love. And that felt like, and I experienced that then as a father with my children and grandchildren. Like, that's a meaningful activity to have grandkids on my shoulder or my kids on my shoulder or in a backpack. Just being able to be together that way. And so I just felt like, you know, the work of the Spirit might be a dramatic thing to bring new life. For me, that was a piece of life being breathed into me. Like, instead of just how do I rearrange my schedule, how do I live out of this love that I experienced from God, which I would relate to, you know, a father holding his child on his shoulders. For me, that's a powerful image because of my experience with my dad and my experience with my kids. All throughout the week, I was also reading Philip Yancey's memoir. And if you read that, I think it's circulated the church a little bit. Like, he experienced none of that. He would not relate to the love of a parent as a way to stimulate his sense of a love of God. Like, his dad died, I think, before he was born or early on. He doesn't remember his dad, and his mom just was not able to show love or approval to her two sons. And that was a lot of their struggle through their life. But in his story, he talks about how in Bible colleges, he just went through this really cynical phase. And he was part of a group of three other male students, and they did they were supposed to do ministry projects together. But they also met for prayer every Wednesday. And they'd study a scripture and pray. And he said the typical pattern was the other three would pray. They'd leave it a little space if he wanted to pray, which he never did. And then they'd say amen. Well, this one night after they were talking about the Good Samaritan, he decided to pray. They were surprised, but it was still not out of a spiritual impulse. I forget why he felt like he needed to say something. But in the midst of that prayer, he was struck by the Holy Spirit with this image of the Good Samaritan being Jesus. And he was this poor guy along the road who was beaten up. And as Jesus tried to reach down to help him, he kept pushing him away, which was the story of his life at that time. And I think he would go back and say, like, in his life journey with God, that was a real turning point where the Spirit breathed new life into him. So there's many ways that this looks, but just beginning to have this understanding that the life that God has for us isn't just something we create for ourselves, but it's breathed into us. It's nurtured as water nurtures things from beyond us. So as Jesus goes on, again, he said, like the wind, the Holy Spirit moves. You can't always tell where it's coming from, where it's going, but you can see its effect. Likewise, we might see the Holy Spirit breathing life from above into our lives or our church through love that's shown that reflects God, through our worship or devotion that we express, through good fruit that comes from a good heart, through new priorities and new values that emerge in our lives. But what brings about this new birth from above? In part, we could say that God sends it, like the wind, like the water. But it's also attached to, as John would say here, belief in Jesus. You know, all through the Gospel of John, it's all about coming to this belief in Jesus. Not just an agreement that he's the Lord and Savior, but this place of repentance and offering your whole self into this new reality, this new life that's being offered to you. One of our other scriptures for the week, if you read through the scriptures that were suggested, Genesis 12, I think it's Genesis 12, the first four verses. The Lord says to Abraham, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. And then listen to all the I wills, all the things that God promises Abraham. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So that was spoken to Abraham. And it says, the next verse, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him. That was his response. In faith, in belief, he believed what God said, and he stepped out, like he went. That's the belief, I think, that John's talking about here. Not just to hear the promises, but then step into them, to offer yourself to this new birth that can arise in you. And so it is with us, not because our family has faith, and not because of our own self-improvement, but somehow that I'm being shaped with life, new life from above, that there's this new creation at work in me right now as I step into it by faith. Like the water, like the wind, it's at work in my life. So Jesus says, Nicodemus, I've spoken to you about these earthly things, how God's people are going to be renewed by the wind and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that you'll be able to see this. Things that were prophesied before, things that you're starting to see now through me. If you don't understand these things, how will you understand the heavenly things? And so I just want to point out yet the heavenly things that Jesus speaks here. And just soak these in as good news, what's said in John 3. Jesus says, no one has gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. No one else has come down from heaven. No one else has returned to heaven. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness. If you know the story, the people grumbled again in the wilderness. God sent snakes. Many of them were bitten and were dying. Moses was commanded to take this bronze snake and hold it up. And whoever would look at that snake would be healed, would have life instead of death. Just like that snake that was lifted up, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. So in the commentary in our library, Willard Swortley says that statement about being lifted up just summarizes everything about Jesus, both his humiliation on the cross as he was lifted up, but also then as he was resurrected and lifted up, and as he ascended into heaven to reign forever and ever. Those who look to this Jesus who was lifted up will have new life if they put their trust in him and put their faith in him. That's where you need to look for new birth from above. And John goes on to write, or Jesus goes on to say, this is how much God loved us, how much God loved the world. He gave that which was most precious to him, his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not die, but be born from above and would have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, to condemn us, but to save the world through him. So as we go from here, as we think about applying this, as we're asking like Nicodemus, like how can this be? How can we become new? How can we be shaped from above and experience transformation? The answer in the scripture is to believe in Jesus, to have a faith like Abraham did, to hear the promises and to step into them with faith and trust that God's going to birth new life in you, that it's going to pour out from above like the wind and the water, and birth new life into you, birth new life into our community here at Whitmer Heights, to birth new life everywhere. So let's look for the signs. Look for the signs in your own life that the Holy Spirit somehow birthing something new as you trust and put your faith in him. Look for signs in our community here, in our church. How is the Holy Spirit birthing something new? How is the Holy Spirit birthing something new all around us? How can we join with that? So I'd like to pray that might be true. I'm going to use the words mostly from the song Rushing Wind by Keith Green. And as I pray these words to a song, like take it in, make it your prayer, but also think about how it relates to our scripture from John 3 today. So let's pray together. God, I want to lift up all of us, this congregation, to you, that you might, in our faith, birth new life into us individually and as a congregation through Jesus Christ, who is the very center of that new life and the source of it. Rushing wind, blow through this temple, blowing out the dust within. Come and breathe your breath upon us. We've been born again. Holy Spirit, we surrender. Take us where you want to go. Plant us by your living water. Plant us deep so we can grow. Jesus, you're the one who sets our spirit free. Use us, Lord, glorify your holy name through us. Separate us from this world, Lord. Sanctify our life for you. Daily change us to your image. Help us bear good fruit. Amen.